Once upon a time, when there was magic everywhere. There lived a poor widow and her son Jack. The widow loved her son so much that she could never bring herself to ask anything of him, with the result that although he reached the age of 10, he could neither reap, nor sow, nor milk, nor mow. In fact, the only things that Jack was good at were whistling and whittling. But one day, at the end of a terrible winter, Jack's mother said to him,
"My son, unless we have money to buy food, we will starve. But we have nothing to sell but the cow and the roof over our heads. Since I am too weak for the journey, you must take the cow to the village and sell her. She should fetch at least 5 pieces of silver."
"If you only expect 5 pieces, I'm sure I can bring you 10, Mother. You just leave everything to me."
Like most boys who know no better, Jack was certain that he was much shrewder than any merchant he might meet. So he confidently took the cow in tow.
"5 pieces of silver. I'm sure I can do much better than that."
But when Jack came home that night...
"Well, my son, how much did the cow fetch you?"
"Oh, I got far more than 5 pieces of silver, Mother."
10 pieces?
"Far more than that. Look."
"You sold the cow for 5 beans?
They're not just beans. They're enchanted beans. They're guaranteed beans."
"Guaranteed? To do what?"
"Well, the man didn't say."
"Oh, my foolish boy. You sold our cow for common kidney beans. You might as well have thrown the poor cow out the window. And that's where your beans belong."
And Jack's mother threw the beans out the door and Ben put him to bed without any supper. Jack couldn't understand how he could have thrown the cow out the window. But he was not a boy to think about one thing for long, and he fell asleep as soon as his head touched the pillow. But at the crack of dawn, he was awake and out the door, still cherishing the hope that the man who traded him the beans for his cow had been telling him the truth. And he had. For there before Jack's eyes, there was...
a beanstalk. The biggest one I've ever seen.
Jack lay down on the ground and looked up at the beanstalk to see if he could see the top. But the beanstalk went up and up and up and up right into the clouds.
"Well, if I want to see what's at the top, I guess there's nothing to do but go to the top."
And Jack sees the first branch of the beanstalk, and the second, and the third, and climbed, and climbed, and climbed, until he was so high that he couldn't see the ground.
"Well, what goes up must end up. Ooh, this beanstalk must have a top somewhere."
And so it had. But Jack was hardly prepared for what he saw when he reached the top of the beanstalk. For there directly before him was a tremendous castle with a moat and a drawbridge and a bugle hanging at the gate.
"Well, whoever they are, they wouldn't have hung a bugle outside if they didn't want anyone to blow it."
No sooner had Jack blown the bugle than the great drawbridge came down across the moat. And And Jack was never a boy to refuse an invitation.
How very nice. The people in the castle are making me welcome.
How may I help you, little boy?
And there before Jack stood a dreadful giantess with one great eye in the middle of her forehead.
It's nothing, ma'am. I must have the wrong address. Please, ma'am, put me down.
Oh, no. It's my duty to welcome you now that you finally come to claim your castle.
My castle?
I'll explain as soon as I've carried you in. And bolted the door.
But I don't want to come in. I don't have a castle.
Then suppose we say the castle has you. Look around. Don't you remember the old place?
Does look sort of familiar.
Of course it does. You were born here.
I was?
Indeed. And you lived here until you were 1 year old, until my husband the giant killed your father and took his castle and his treasures.
Did my father have treasures?
Well, nothing much, really. A hen that laid golden eggs. And a harp that played whatever one asked of it. And you, his only child. But once my husband had killed your father, they belonged to him, of course.
Of course. Except for me.
Except for you, Jack. For you belong to me.
What?
Whenever my husband is away from home, you shall be my page. You'll wash and dust and feed the goat and sharpen the knives and clean the moat.
But when your husband's home, I'll rest?
When my husband's home, you'll hide. He ate the last 9 pages that I tried. He's coming home. Into the closet with you.
I smell the blood of an Englishman.
Not at all, my dear. All you smell is the ox I'm barbecuing for your supper.
Well, how long are you going to be about it? I haven't had a thing to eat all day but 3 sheep and a small boy.
The ox will be ready in a few minutes, my husband. Wouldn't you like to amuse yourself with a hen while you wait?
Fine. Nothing like counting golden eggs to give a man an appetite.
Jack had no idea what the giant and his wife were talking about until he peeked through the keyhole of the closet and saw that on the floor before the giant was a very ordinary brown hen. That is, she was ordinary until the giant said,
"Lay a golden egg."
And there on the floor was a perfect egg of purest gold.
That makes 9,671. And I swear she's giving heavier eggs than she gave that knight who used to live here. Hen? Lay a golden egg. 9,672. Hen? Lay. 9,673.
As everyone knows, there's nothing like counting to put one to sleep. And it wasn't long before the giant had dozed off completely. As soon as Jack was sure that the giant was asleep, he swept up the hen and was out the door like a shot.
Quiet, Mistress Hen. I'll take you to my house and feed you all the corn you can eat.
faster than a frantic rabbit, Jack was out of the castle, across the moat, and was sliding down the beanstalk.
Mother, look!
Why, it's Matilda, our hen that used to lay the golden eggs.
Not used to, Mother. Watch. Hen, lay a golden egg. You see? We'll never want for anything again. Hen, lay a golden egg. Hen, lay a golden egg.
And Jack told his mother of his adventures at the top of the beanstalk and of the castle that rightly belonged to his mother and himself. But when he began to talk of taking his father's possessions away from the giant, his mother said,
"It's quite enough that we have Matilda again. Tomorrow morning, you must chop down the beanstalk."
But what about my father's castle and the enchanted harp that plays whatever one asks of it? They belong to us, not the giant.
My son, you'll have to learn that might is right and that the strong are seldom wrong. Tomorrow, take your axe and cut the beanstalk to the ground.
Jack had his supper and went to bed, but he found that he couldn't close his eyes.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman.
And the more he thought of the things the giant had taken from his father, the farther he was from sleep. Jack would never have thought of disobeying his mother, so that there was no question that the beanstalk would be gone in the morning. But
a harp that plays whatever one asks of it. How happy that would make my mother.
And Jack crept out of his bed and out the kitchen door, determined to bring the harp to his mother before it was time to cut down the beanstalk. The climb was twice as frightening as before, for it was still pitch dark. But at last, Jack reached the top of the beanstalk and sneaked across the drawbridge as quietly as a kitten. Just as the sun came up, he came to the tremendous door of the castle.
Page for hire! Page for hire! I'll wash and dust and feed the goat and sharpen knives and clean the moat.
Come in, my boy. We need a page. We lost our last one just last night.
Lost him?
Yeah, perhaps my husband ate him. There's no way to know for sure.
The giantess didn't see very well, for as you remember, she had only one eye. And Jack looked just the same to her as all the other pages she'd hired, and her husband had eaten. She instructed Jack in his duties, and had just put him in the closet when the giant awoke.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman.
Don't be silly, my dear. That's your breakfast you smell. I have an elephant roasting in the kitchen.
When will it be ready? I'm hungry.
I'm sorry, my husband, but I just killed it. It'll be at least 10 minutes before it's done to your taste.
Then bring in the harp and some gold for me to count. That ought to help my appetite.
And as Jack watched through the keyhole, the giantess brought in a tremendous bag of gold pieces and a beautiful harp with strings of gold. The giant commanded the harp to play and began counting the gold pieces. Jack saw that the giantess had put the harp right in front of the closet in which he was hidden. So he whispered through the keyhole,
"Harp! Harp, play a lullaby."
And since the harp played whatever one asked of it, it immediately began playing lullabies. And in no time at all, the giant had fallen asleep. As soon as Jack heard the giant snoring, he put the harp over his shoulder and ran for the beanstalk as fast as he could.
I've got to run. I've got to run. I've got to run, 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 run.
But the harp, thinking it was being ordered to play, began playing runs. So loudly that the giant immediately woke up.
Stop! Stop, thief!
But the giant was too late. When he and his wife reached the beanstalk, Jack and the harp were already safely at the bottom.
After him, wife! I want my harp back!
And the giant and his wife jumped on the beanstalk and began sliding down. But since they were 100 times as heavy as Jack, the fragile beanstalk couldn't possibly support them, and no sooner had they climbed on it than it broke off right in the middle and sent them both crashing to the earth to their death. Jack and his mother could have taken his father's castle back, but since they had their little cottage and the hen that laid the golden eggs and the enchanted harp, they had all they wanted as they were, and they lived happily ever after.